This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Jeffrey Alexander of the psych rock band Dire Wolves says record stores contributed significantly to his early music education. Alexander plays guitar, moog, and wooden sax in the instrumental improvisational quintet that makes a return appearance at Reverberation Vinyl in Bloomington April 10th. Alexander is also an avid taper of other artist concerts and approaches that hobby with two goals.
Well, I mean, I think for me, the goal is to get great sound. It's also about documenting, you know, an event and like being able to go back to it later, or, you know, share it with people who weren't there. So having a great recording is part of that.
So I would imagine these are like old 45s or even going further back than that. The holy grail of tapers is they really the old stuff before everything became digital and went online, right?
Well, definitely. The digital archive is just a library of that old stuff, mostly. You know, some people are recording digitally. Obviously, you can go straight to file, of course, with a microphone or recorder these days, of course. But most people that I know still prefer to record to tape. There's just something about the warmth of the analog sound that lends itself to the aesthetic of the tape trading.
Huh.
Yeah, but no, the old stuff is, you're right, the holy grail, because finding stuff, it's like, you know, it's like going to the thrift store or something and digging around and like...
John at Reverberation Vinyl has still, I think, looking for the Pentangle concert from Illinois Wesleyan University from 1970. It's right across the street from his store. I don't think he's found it yet. Do you have a holy grail, Jeffrey, of your own that, man, I want to get a hold of this tape from Syd Barrett era Pink Floyd or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I look at it that way. I think I'm more passive. Like when things come up, or if I hear, oh, like somebody has a recording of so and so, I'll get excited about it, you know. And then, I mean, some of my favorites are I've collected some Pearls Before Swine that are pretty hard to find. One of my favorites is a Pentangle from Berkeley Community Theater, I think on that same tour.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if the Illinois recording, I've never seen or heard of that. I can't think offhand if there's anything that I'm really like searching out, you know, sorry.
Let's talk music. Dire Wolves is who you're listening to. Jeffrey Alexander with the group is our guest on GLT Sound Ideas. You're an instrumental band. You're an improvisational instrumental, at least mostly instrumental, but improvisational. How much of this music now is written ahead of time, or is it all improvisation from the beginning?
It's almost entirely improvisation. I mean, we all come at it with our own bag of tricks, if you will. Every member of the group has been playing music for a long time, and there's certain ways that we each approach our own instruments or our own voices. Voice is an instrument in the group as well. And so, like, we'll get together and perhaps we'll pick a key. Let's start in C minor or whatever. And we'll say that, or we'll just get together and we'll tell a story. We'll take turns, you know, like the drummer Sheila might say, okay, now we're going to play something that is like walking in the woods, and then you come up to a empty field and there's a lot of birds and, you know, some story. And then we just start playing to create the soundtrack to that.
So you got to one of my questions from a non-musician wanting to know if you're doing improvisational. How do you start? How do you know where to start if there is not something charted out? You sort of answered that. How do you know when you're done?
You know, we don't always know when we're done.
Okay.
We have a couple riffs that we might return to. So maybe someone will start playing that and then we'll go in a different direction that way. And like I said, it's not, you know, there are a few little signposts or guide points that we have. but the majority of it is improv, including the vocals. The vocalist, Georgia, she has her own invented language, and she uses the voice, as I said, as an instrument, and she'll make up words and her own lyrical sculptures in the moment.
Has she given her language a name?
I don't know, actually.
I mean, like Vulcan or something, you know?
I don't know. Okay. I should ask her.
Obviously, you're not swinging like Ellington, but how are you different or the same as a jazz musician?
Yeah, well, I mean, we approach our music the way that a lot of jazz musicians approach music. I feel that jazz musicians are probably way more musically educated than I am, so I don't know, think I can hold myself in that realm, but I aspire to it. We've gotten some reviews and write-ups in jazz publications, so I, you know, who knows? I think that we play sort of a jazzy type of thing, but within a rockin' environment.
You know, maybe it's not dissimilar to what Miles did in 1970 with that Jack Johnson album. Are you familiar with that one?
Totally. It's amazing. Yes.
I mean, there's some similarities there, aren't there?
I mean, thank you. I'll take it for sure. I don't know if we're anywhere near that greatness, but I really appreciate that. It's like the most satisfying and rewarding thing about playing music to me is just getting out of your head and getting out of your comfort zone and listening, completely listening to what's happening and just creating like a new, uncharted, you know, improvisational jam. And going back to the taping thing, it doesn't always work, you know? It's like, so, you know, it might not sound great, but you know, we can leave that on the cutting room floor, I guess.
Music of the San Francisco-based instrumental band Dire Wolves in town again next week. Jeffrey Alexander with the band is our guest. You know, when you play next week, you'll be here in a record store again. Record stores are a business that many thought would be out of business. With the digital revolution, that hasn't happened. Even in our little town, record stores are thriving. The question for you is, how much of record stores been a part of your, you know, musical, not just evolution, maybe the beginnings of your music?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Absolutely. I mean, I'm a complete record nerd, like everybody that plays this kind of music, I'm sure. You know, I mean, I started really young. I grew up in Baltimore and started going to record stores in the 70s, I guess, and late 70s, probably. I bought my first records and just got hooked. I ended up working at record stores and other record stores and other record stores. And, you know, that was pretty much my only job for a few decades. And I moved around a lot, but the last few record stores I worked at were in Providence, Rhode Island. I'm sure that people that shop at the record stores in your town, you know, there's something very rewarding and enjoyable about going to a place, flipping through the stacks, listening to stuff on headphones, finding things that you can really connect with. It's totally like a tactile thing. And also records just sound better. Like they do. I mean, what I decided and what I think a lot of people did is the warmth of the analog sounds. You know, if you take like a Led Zeppelin album that's not scratched and you put it on a turntable with a good needle and it's just going to come out of the speakers and just knock you over.